We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Clay Lincoln, Todd Zola back on the Friday edition of the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast, talking pickups and two starters for the week of August 15th, 2022. Hope you'll join us. Welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast. I'm Clay Link here with FSWA Hall of Famer Todd Zola. Lord Zola, great to be on with you as always. Coming off, you know, as a Reds fan, a somewhat disappointing Field of Dreams game, but I did love some of the pageantry, I guess you could call it. Ken Griffey Jr. coming out of the corn with Senior. That was a cool moment. And, you know, Senior dropped the first toss.
Yeah.
But that's all right.
They had a catch.
Yes. Griffey asked if he would have a catch. Regardless of your opinions on have a catch versus play catch, I thought it was kind of cool. Although, I got to say, Griffey, yeah, he looked great. He looked better than he did his final year's playing, I thought.
Perhaps.
I feel like Ken Griffey Jr. could come out and hit 30, but he just looked better than he did during his White Sox tenure and there at the very end with the Reds.
Well, it's good to see. I mean, obviously, we forget it now, but, you know, he was injured for the latter. Hopefully, he's not a Mike Trout scenario coming up, but he was injured for most of the latter part of his career. Who knows what he would have done had he been able to avoid the injury bug?
Yeah, you do got to kind of think about that with Trout and, like, Buxton and – and even like Acuna, you got to keep that in your head. Like just that reckless abandon in center could lead to some issues down the road.
Well, but fortunately, Acuna's in right now. So maybe that'll help a little. True. Maybe. We'll see.
Just last year's Field of Dreams game was such a
hitter's
just haven. And the Reds kind of stunk it up. But credit to Drew Smiley and team, I guess. But had our free agent pickups last night and had a kind of a big ticket item suddenly come across the wires available. Vaughn Grissom, the latest prospect to get promoted for Atlanta. And you know, they had so much success with Michael Harris bringing him straight up from AA. They did it with Grissom and homer and a steal in his debut, big league debut.
And a bat flip.
And yeah, it's pretty awesome. I guess combo meal is kind of like an uncool term nowadays.
Why is it uncool?
In a home, I don't know. I just saw that on Twitter a while ago. People were trying to come up with a better term.
Maybe crank and gank.
Maybe
because the originators of the combo meal are no longer podcasting. But
Tristan the one who came up with combo meal?
I don't know if it's Tristan or Eric, but it came from their podcast. But anyway, no, I am. Whatever. The problem I have with Grissom, I think everybody at least keeps it in mind, I would hope anyway, is where's he going to play in 2 weeks? You know, he doesn't have the power to just say, you know what, he's going to DH because Marcell Ozuna stinks, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. With Albies coming back in probably 2 weeks and Swanson, obviously cemented a shortstop, I'm not 100% positive that we're going to get much more than, you know, another 10 or 12 days out of Grissom. So I don't know that I would be going all in. Well, this point of year, what are you going to go all in on? But I think we need to keep it in mind that we're not looking at a definite six or seven or 8 week player.
You know, I was excited about Miguel Vargas at this time last week. By Sunday, it became clear that his playing time outlook was not what I expected. So I kind of got saved for myself. I actually did try to go all in on Grissom in the stake league. We have $0 ad, so I tried to spend my last six on him. He went for 13. But you're right. Like, who at this point in the season, who are you going to go all in on? You're right that, you know, at third base, they got Riley, and once Albies is back.
Ozuna
has really stunk up the joint, as you listen.
Yeah, Ozuna is the wild card because you could use Grissom to get Riley off his feet, right? To get Swanson off his feet, and to even work in Albies a little bit slower at second base. So there are pathways to get Grissom in the lineup. But I mean, we were kind of spoiled with the homer. He's not a power guy. I mean, he may develop power, although we said that about Albies when he started. And now he's a cleanup hitter, right? He may develop power, but he's right now more of a high contact speed running guy than he is the, you know, power source. He just happened to get a hold of one, put it over the monster. It's kind of cool where usually you need to go into the stands to negotiate getting the ball back. They had to go outside the park. It's kind of funny. I like that.
I didn't see that.
At least it didn't go in the drink in San Francisco or something. But anyway, so that's all. I mean, just it's. I think everybody knows to look at playing time and don't to go overboard. On the other hand, like I mentioned, there are ways to get the bat in the lineup. I think Ozuna has about 2 weeks to prove that he's worthy of an everyday spot, doesn't he?
Yeah, because remember, they did it without him. Last year, they were willing to bring him back despite those, you know, domestic and, abuse.
Yeah, and William Contreras could DH once Darno should be back this weekend. So the Braves have got a lot of moving parts. But I kind of like the idea of having Grissom get Riley off his feet, get Swanson off his feet. Because those guys have played every game, literally. Yeah. I mean, well, Swanson and Olsen, anyway, have literally played every game. Not, you know, just not kind of just saying that. So that's kind of, keep him fresh down the stretch.
Yeah, Swanson's been unreal. And really, Austin Riley's been an MVP candidate in the National League. He's been outstanding. So, yeah, I don't really think they need Ozuna's thump or, you know, that middle of the order bat that Ozuna's been in the past. I don't know that they need to force the issue if he's not competing. And no disrespect to Tristan and Eric. I'm not saying that combo meal is uncool. I know. I'm just saying.
Maybe it's passe. I'm thinking, who are we being insensitive towards, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I'm trying to, you know, nowadays you can't make a joke about that. It's disrespectful. I think people are probably just saying, it's passe. We need something cooler. We need something hipper. That's all.
Yeah, that was basically the convo. People trying to, on Twitter, come up with another term for a homer and a steal and same game. Whatever you want to call it, Vaughn Grissom got that.
What do we call it, a Grissom?
Kind of like that. I mean, to do that in your debut, your big league debut, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, why not?
You may be onto something.
He made a couple nights. I mean, kind of running around it. He's been playing mostly shortstop, but he obviously played second base. And he made a couple of nice plays, handled himself around the bag very well. So, you know, it's like you mentioned, too, Atlanta's got a history, if Michael Harris constitutes history, accelerating one person from double A all the way up, and it was out of desperation. I don't think it would have been done had Arias not gotten hurt.
Tyler Naquin also picked up in the stake league for $8 last night. He's still kind of a platoon guy, but he's played pretty well for the Mets.
16 or 20? How many teams in the stake league?
14.
14. All right. Well, we're familiar. 15. We're familiar with it, and there are platoon players that are in an NFBC lineup. So I can see where in a 14-team league, Naquin would be, you know. And one of the things that they're doing, too, he's a platoon player, but the Mets are – Naquin will come in when there's a right-handed reliever that comes in the game. They're not going to leave the players necessarily out there the entire game. Naquin upgrades the defense. One of the things you have to watch. So he plays against all righty starters and righty relievers at the end of the game.
Good point. Yeah, in a league like this, you know, my outfield's kind of – I'm pretty okay everywhere else, but the outfield's getting a little sketchy. So, yeah, somebody probably maybe had an injury. I think Naquin needs to be rostered in this league for sure. Aaron Civale for six. Daniel Vogelbach for six. He's been on and off rosters. I had him rostered in this league at one point. Nick Gordon for six. Rowan Wick I had a bid in for, but I didn't get him. He went for five. I closed out the Field of Dreams game, and looks like he's pretty clearly the closer there in Chicago now. Franmil Reyes for three. Any hope for Franmil?
Is Franmil
on the north side?
I suppose, but I mean, I don't know. I mean, there's nothing to hang your hat on, right? It just has to be that he just can't be that bad, and the roller coaster has to start going up, you know, after it goes down or whatever the expression would be. That's all. So you can't say, well, his contact has been good, but hasn't getting results. No, there's nothing to really hang your hat on other than when he hits the ball, he hits it really hard, and he just has to hit it more.
Edward Cabrera for the Miami Marlins picked up, and I saw you tweeting eyes on Edward Cabrera the other day. What do you think?
Yeah, what was I? Oh, that's it was a dumb joke. Oh no, yeah. Well, basically, I was saying that I miss biotech because you know I miss the salary, I miss the benefits, I miss being able to watch afternoon baseball. Oh, wait a minute, no, I don't miss. I couldn't do that before. I get to watch Edward Cabrera today. But anyway. I've always been interested just because I have him on a couple of keeper dynasty leagues and he's been hurt. I mean, every time I watch him, it's more about does he look hurt than anything else. And he looks fine. So I think, you know, he's probably in the plans next year. Let's build up some innings down the stretch so that he won't be reins off next year. But, you know, can we expect 130 or 140? Hopefully. And, you know, the Marlins have shown they can develop young pitching, and I like what I see.
Yes. I think I had a contingent bid on him here. And, you know, yeah, it's all really about health. When I've seen him at the big league level, he's been great.
And I think there's another level. I think he's – I think there's the ratchet – he could ratchet the strikeouts out. I think there's another – some of the torque pitches he's backing off a bit, get the arm strength up over the winter – regular workout routine, and I think we could possibly see an increase in strikeouts next year.
J.P. Sears, he may be getting an opportunity at Oakland. He went for two. Manuel Margot, that's a James pickup. Kind of sneaky there if you can stash IL players, because it seems like he's getting kind of close.
Who are they? They put mental block.
Pena?
No. Siri, Jose Siri. Oh. So they do have a Jose. They're playing Jose Siri, but unless Siri goes goofy, there's still a spot for Margot.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, Siri was on Houston. Now he's on Tampa Bay. All right. Who else got picked up last night of note? Bryson Stott, and the drop was Michael Brantley. Just saw before we came on, Brantley's done for the year, so you'll want to.
Okay.
I cut bait with him. Ian Kennedy picked up $0. I picked up JD Davis. I've been a JD Davis apologist. Kind of wanted the Reds to get him just as, like, you know, a throw in with a prospect. But he's been playing quite a bit with San Francisco and playing well. So I figured, you know, two UT spots, maybe I'll start him this week.
He's been hitting well. As you know, he's a bad defender in San Francisco. I think there's a story about this on Fangraphs. San Francisco likes to, you know, not only do they like to play the platoon game, they like to play the shift game. And they've had Davis in some uncomfortable positions in the infield, and he's not doing it. And Longoria is back, and Davis is still playing. They want, I mean, we hit four home runs in a week, that'll happen. But because of the defense and the fact he's a right-handed batter, the caution with Davis is he could fall back into a platoon.
Yeah, fair point. $0 ad, so I wasn't, you know, don't have too high hopes, but I did add him. Nick Prado, Adrian Sampson. Anybody else on your mind this week as we head into Fab on Sunday?
I don't know. I'm trying to, cater it towards leagues that we're used to, the NFBC. I've been looking into Jose Miranda. I'm not looking into, but I did a piece for ESPN Plus Insider where I looked at players that have been just crushing the ball since the All-Star break and exit velocity, et cetera. Miranda has just been pounding the ball. I know he's available in ESPN type leagues, but I can't imagine. Maybe he's available in some 12s, maybe. But I can't imagine he's available in 15s at this point. But he's a guy that I've been kind of keying on as far as, when people ask, who do you like right now? It's Jose Miranda.
I like that call, man. I got him in Tout Wars head-to-head a few weeks ago for 29. So he was still out there in that 12 as of 2 or 3 weeks ago. And yeah, I've been enjoying that ride. It's been fantastic, really dating back to even before the All-Star break. He's been on a tear. I did pick up Jose Barrero there in a few other leagues. I was kind of optimistic, but watching the game last night and earlier this week, he gets really exposed on that low and away breaking ball. I just can't lay off it. So I picked him up last week, but I'll probably be dumping Jose Barrero again.
Yeah, the key with Barrero to me is he wasn't hitting well on the farm.
No, he really wasn't.
Right? So, I mean, we know that the Reds are stockpiling shortstops. Part of it is because Lodolo looked pretty good last night. Part of it is because Barrero doesn't look, the prospect shine is pretty much dulled. I think, the Reds will be moving some of those guys off shortstop. They like all their prospects, but they're not old enough to drink yet. So it's going to be a while. Well, you think that is who's Moustakas? It's kind of a, it's a vague return from Moustakas. So it's still Barrero, but I mean, once Moustakas is back, Farmer can go back to shortstop. But I think Barrero has shown he's not even going to be a stopgap. Right.
They want to give him a look, but I think the swing and miss is a little too prevalent still at his age.
Yeah. Right. And so until De La Cruz or whichever guy sticks it short and is the first one up. The Reds have shown they don't want to get the stopgap. There's been a couple of guys available. They've shown they don't want to do it. So curious to see what they're going to want to do, because now that they have a nice little stockpile of young pitching, I don't think you can just, willy-nilly it at shortstop. You need a guy there.
Yeah. The days of, Gino, moving as Gino Suarez type to short are hopefully over. And putting your pitchers in that position, hopefully thing of the past for the Reds. But I think they're pretty much done with Moose. I think his tenure with the Reds is pretty much over. So when he comes back, maybe DH is a little bit, but I think they moved Farmer from short, and he was kind of upset about that. He voiced some displeasure about having to move off short, but I think they did that with the thought of giving Barrero a long
one. Absolutely.
I just don't know if he can really be a fantasy factor with the playing time Barrero at this stage quite yet.
Yeah, I mean,
did have that two-homer game against Milwaukee.
Farmer's job is like the older professional wrestler. His job is to get the young kids over. So he needs, once in a while you give him a win over an even more of a jobber. But I think that Farmer did a lot better as the air quote stopgap than I think we all expected, but there were just so many other not Freddie Galvis, but Freddie Galvis types that the Reds could have used over the years. So we don't want to belabor that anymore.
I do think Hunter Green will be a tough call for some managers this weekend. They're saying no surgery, but who knows if a return this season's really going to come. And if he does, maybe a couple abbreviated starts at the end. We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah.
A tough call if you don't have a couple IL spots. But let's first, before we get into two-star pitchers for next week, let's take a moment to pause and hear a word from our Blue Wire sponsors.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right, we are back on the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast, the Friday, August 12th edition. Like here with Todd Zolan. We'll look ahead to the week of August 15th, 2022. And I feel like Madison Bumgarner has been on so many of these lists. He must just get shuffled around. Doesn't it feel like we've graded Bumgarner like a dozen times this year?
Yeah, but not very well. Yeah, no, I think you're probably right. I mean, in San Francisco, they don't have rainouts unto themselves. I just think it just worked out that they shuffle up their rotation more than rainouts or anything like that. But no, I think you're right.
It's probably more so just how it feels because they're always the first team, and just for whatever reason,
I said San Francisco, didn't I? I meant Arizona. I'm thinking. Here's the weird part. I said San Francisco, but I'm thinking Arizona's in a dome. Mm-hmm. But yet I said San Francisco. That's don't get old. Don't get old, Clay.
I mean, they shouldn't. Yeah, you're right that they shouldn't have had to move him, shuffle him around much. But it's just subjectively in my head, I feel like every time
it's not rainouts. They have had a bunch of injuries in that rotation, and you know, I think that's been more than anything else.
Anyway, Bumgarner does face his former team, the Giants, to start the week. Then it's versus St. Louis. So at San Francisco versus St. Louis for Bumgarner. Same for Merrill Kelly. I just don't like what Bumgarner brings to the table. It's just volatile, not a good team. But I think I'll give him a 2.
Is that too long? I'm giving him a 1.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm giving him a 1. Yeah. The surprise really good games are fewer and further between. And St. Louis can play now. So, yeah, I'm going to give him a 1.
Off the bat, that felt a little high, a little low for me, actually. But
I may make up for it with this one, though.
So Merrill Kelly at San Francisco versus St. Louis. I think I'm going to go 3. What are you saying?
I'm going to go 4.
Yeah.
I think he's due for a regression monster game. But until it happens, he's just doing nothing but throwing strikes and getting men out.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've been waiting on that regression monster game for Kyle Wright for Atlanta. It's really, I mean, there were a couple small bumps in the road, but the big regression monster game hasn't really come from Wright yet.
Didn't the Mets get him for like 4 homers, but they were solo shots? So yeah, you're right. Well, had there been men on base, that could have been a different story.
Good point. Yeah, good, really good point. He only gave up six total, but yeah, four homers could have gotten pretty ugly. That was on August 4th. He had a decent outing August 10th. So
against the Red Sox. No, I got to watch in that game, and I mean, it was nice bounce back. Don't you like to check out how young guys do after a rough outing like that?
Always, yeah. Yeah, that's what it's all about. It's adjusting. Yeah,
and he looked fine. I'm trying to remember which of the pitches that he was. I don't remember change of the curve, but he kind of went off of his normal routine because something was working, and that impressed me as well. So anyway,
absolutely. So I'll give Kyle Wright a four, and I think tough, Max Fried a five.
Tough matchups. Well, Fried, we got to put an asterisk, right? We'll talk about that in a second. Kyle Wright gets a four, and that's for tough matchups. Home against the Mets, home against Houston.
Those yeah, so Fried he's has still a four. He's on the concussion IL.
Right. He missed his – he actually missed – he scratched for tonight.
Yeah, that's right.
So maybe he gets – maybe he clears – maybe – I mean, I think he's clearly a five. Maybe we'll have more information by Sunday night when we update on site. But for now, people just listen to podcast and don't get the site. Why don't you get the site? Get the site. Keep in mind that Fried is currently under percussion. Concussion protocol.
You know, I was at the game where Daniel Castano took that ball off. Ooh. The dome. I've never heard a stadium or ballpark gasp collectively like that.
Was that the scary one that was caught?
Yeah.
Yeah, it popped weird in the air. And yeah. I mean, it's like the guy's catching. It's like, I got to catch this. I got to get them out. But man, my guy was just crunched, you know?
Anyway. It's good to see Castano walk off the field. But yeah, he's been on the IL.
Yeah.
That was really scary. CT scan was normal for him, thank goodness. Right. But yeah, that was – I had just like driven from Wisconsin to Cincinnati that morning. So I was like really like kind of in a fog, but just enjoying the game. And then that happened. It was just like a
– whoa, yeah.
No, scary, sure. Like, you know, return to reality. Kyle Bradish at Toronto – versus Boston. I mentioned last week I picked him up in a keeper league, but I can't see any way he started. I'm going to give him a zero.
Absolutely, yeah.
But I'm not going to completely give up on him as a prospect. I guess he's probably graduated from prospect status at this point, but
right.
Had a little bit of hype as a prospect. Then Dean Kramer, 3.69 ERA, but would you take this risk?
I mean, air quote, like him better, but it's like a minus 0.5 to a minus one, you know? Mm-hmm. I got still him not starting him. Too. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm still not starting him.
What do you think about Nick Pivetta for your Red Sox at Pittsburgh and at Baltimore? Two pretty really nice venues. Two really nice pitching venues.
Well, Baltimore's no pushover.
Well, no, but that's a good venue to pitch in. No.
Yeah.
It's a joke now, by the way.
I've got him as, I guess, in the two range.
That's it, huh?
He hasn't pitched out well. I mean, he just hasn't pitched that well.
I was late in three, but you're going to say two.
I could go three. I mean, the rankings say two, but, you know, it does factor in recency bias a little bit. I never know how much to actually include. I in my mind, he's probably a three. But the thing with Pivetta, though, is he's not giving the length that he normally gives. So it's one of those things where when he pitches, you know, when he doesn't pitch well, it's five. When he pitches well, it's seven. There's not a lot in between, you know?
True. That's kind of been the recurring theme throughout his career.
Yeah.
But
I'm going to stick with two, but maybe that's my Boston speak in there. Well. How do you do two in a Boston accent? Anyway.
Good question. Yeah, you have to ask, what's J-Lo's? Ben Affleck. Something like this. Yeah, I like those matches. So I'll go three. And then Marcus Stroman for Chicago. But before we talk about Stroman, I just want to say Justin Steele, man. You kind of were sniffing around and liked him earlier this year. It took a little bit, but struck out 9 his last time out and 10 the outing before. So a 19-1 K to walk over his last two outings.
Yeah.
Justin Steele is pretty interesting.
Dropped him, and I was able to get him back in a couple of places, not everywhere. But and the, you know, because we keep talking all year long, you know, he's not the kind of guy you could have afforded to sit on, to stash.
Yeah, you'd have to churn that spot mostly.
Yeah, and, you know, I have him back in a couple places, and I kind of like him a little bit. So we'll see what happens there.
Yeah, he's not a two-star guy again, but no, at Washington, I would probably
throw him out there if I had.
I'd be looking to add him if I can. Then Stroman, it's at Washington versus Milwaukee. He's just not an exciting guy to start in fantasy. I'll go with 2, though.
I get him. To me, he's like a perennial 3, you know? It's like,
yeah.
It's like you almost don't even care who he's facing, just 3. But I can see where 1 might go to. But I'm at 3.
Those matchups are okay. I'll stick 2, but I got you down as a 3 on Marcus Stroman next week. Mike Minor has got to be a 0. Mike Minor with a 1-9 record. Sure glad they brought him in to eat innings.
Well, you know, I he was one of my draft champion stash. You know, I thought, all right, here, he's a professional pitcher. Let's see.
He was there for me in past years, but
yeah, it's not all the park.
I avoided him this year. Yeah.
So yeah, I, you know, the matchups aren't terrible, but he is.
Yeah, it's falling apart quickly. 6.24 ERA and getting 1.
Well, I actually did my rankings this time a little bit in advance. I'm looking, he's 134, and UK, we'll get to him. You say Kikuchi is next. That's how hard I've fallen on Kikuchi. But anyway, we'll talk about that later.
By the way, we have TJ Zoik penciled in. He got a start for them earlier this week, got clobbered. So TJ Zoik once threw a no-hitter, I think, for AAA Buffalo, but he's averaged like 5 strikeouts per 9, so it could be pretty ugly for Zoik against Philly in Great American Ballpark next week. And then Guardians, Aaron Civale, I mentioned he was picked up in the Stake League, versus Detroit, versus the White Sox, who are not doing much offensively right now. But would you consider Civale? This is a little too high risk for me.
I got him as a 2, but it's, you know, it's a formulaic ranking. What I need to do, I know this isn't his first start back. I'd like to check out the innings, because I do the innings pretty quickly to get, I want to recheck the innings to see if I've overgraded him in innings. If and I have, that'll drop him. But I'm not as scared about Chicago as, you know, obviously we were in the past, especially with Timmy Anderson out. So that's not, you know, I don't cringe when I see the White Sox. You certainly don't cringe when you see Detroit.
Just pulled up Civale's page just to look at his innings, and he threw 4 in his return against Detroit on August 10th. Also threw 4 against Rochester on August 5th. So maybe he'll be available for 5.
If I, you know, I'm pretty sure I have him at 5 for both games. And if he's ranked where he is now, 72nd, I trust it. So that gives him a 2. I'm just not afraid. I like, you know, at home's pretty good, and I like these matchups. I'm just not afraid of the White Sox. The White Sox will lay 12 on you, but you know, they're not consistently that. You know, then they get shut out for a couple of games.
They lost Tim Anderson to the IL now. Right. I'm going to bump Civale. I had him as a 1 initially, but I think you're right. You made a good case. I'm going to bump him up to a 2. Kyle Freeland at St. Louis and versus San Francisco, can't do it in any sense. It's a 0.
Yeah, this is one of the few weeks, it seemed to me anyway, that Colorado split. It seems to be they've either been all home or all away. They've got a split week this week. No, I'm going 0 for Freeland as well.
Johnny Cueto, he of a 2.91 ERA. Love to see it. Dylan Cease is locked in as really one of the best pitchers in the game. He's had I saw a tweet yesterday that he's on a run in the American League that hasn't been seen in like 100 years.
Yeah.
Kind of an underrated, marvelous season for a guy. He wasn't even an all-star somehow. And then Johnny Cueto has been great too. I kind of like that he's stirring the pot a little bit on the south side and questioning the fight.
Desire. Yeah, the fire and desire, yeah.
Was that a tag team once, Fire and Desire?
Was it a female? I think it was a female tag team.
You know, it was a good tag team, Power and Glory.
Oh yeah,
I forget who it was, but I was watching a random.
Tony Romo.
But anyway, back to Two Star Stardust. Cueto versus Houston at Cleveland. He's not going to be a five for me. And actually, I think I'll maybe build in a little regression here and go three.
Yeah, I'm going three.
Love what he's done this year. You're going three as well.
Yeah, with the Houston start. Yeah, I'm going three.
And then for Detroit, Drew Hutchinson.
I assume we're, I mean, we'll just officially give Cease the five.
Yeah, that was.
He deserves hearing it from us, though.
He's given up one run or fewer in, like, I don't know, 15 straight.
Right now, I mean, yeah, it's fantastic. But he's throwing fewer innings than the people that did it 200 years ago. But, yeah, I mean, you got to just pitch to the times. It's fantastic.
Drew Hutchinson. About a league average ERA, but no chance I'd start him. I mean, just it's Drew Hutchinson. So it's a zero. Jose Urquidy, is he a five at this point? 11-4. I know we like to reserve those for the top tier aces. And with that in mind, I think I will go four.
I've got him as a three. Couple of away matchups. I know we've been talking a lot about the White Sox. It is a hitter's park, and then Atlanta. I'm gonna go three, but I am going to review him before the final set. He may fall as a four.
I respect that. I got him as a four for now, but I got you down as a three on Urquidy. Chris Bubich, he's got a 5.02 ERA, but I was starting to look at him. You know, just doing the last 2 weeks or last 21 days on certain sites and. Hasn't been bad. So let's do the little game log calculator.
Didn't he have a tough outing last time, though?
No, he only allowed one earned run over 5 2/3 against the White Sox. So over his last five, he's got a 2.27 ERA, 1.04 whip, 26-9 K to walk over 31 2/3. Only one win in that span. And man, wins have been really hard to come by for Bubich on that team. But with the way he's pitching at Minnesota, at Tampa Bay, maybe I'd consider him for one in a league where I'm kind of trying to take a shot. So I'm going to give Bubich a one.
Yeah, no, I agree. And, yeah, what I was thinking of with the White Sox, it wasn't so much the runs. He gave up one earned run, but it was three runs. He gave up 10 base runners. So it's just one of those outings. But previous to that, he had posted four consecutive quality starts. So and again, the thing about those is check out who they were against: Toronto, Tampa, New York, and Boston. He did the AL East gambit, quality start against everybody but Baltimore. So you can't say it was against the AL Central or quality start. Yeah, you can't really say that. He's been pitching well. He may even be deserving of a two. What are the matchups?
They are at Minnesota, at Tampa Bay. Actually, you know what? You're right. I'm going to give him a two.
I have him in the zero range, but I probably have to make some adjustments. Tampa's offense just isn't that good. It's not scary. It can be good. I'm going to stick with a one, but in my mind, I think he's a two.
Yeah, I just. He's been
people
like so
people
well.
Listening to that and driving off. He's like, aren't you grading off your mind? What do you, you know, in my, on my, on my sheet, he comes out as a one formulaically, but if we were doing this off the cuff, I'd probably give him a two, which tells me I need to review my sheet.
Well, on this show, on this podcast, these grades are very inexact science. So we worry too much about it. But yeah, just with the way Bubich has pitched and those teams you mentioned, at Toronto, home against Tampa Bay, at the Yankees, versus Boston, versus the White Sox, really hasn't let up his last five, and he's pitched well.
Yeah, how about that for a, you know, luck of the draw sort of thing,
yeah,
too, right?
And to pitch that well, and I've maligned the Royals coaching staff and their pitching coaching throughout that organization, but suddenly Bubich and Singer
really. Oh yeah, Singer. Well, so. Singer is crushing.
Yeah, Singer. I mean,
Keller isn't to that level, but he's at least, you don't dismiss him categorically anymore.
I think I'd rather have Bubich going than Greinke. So if I gave Bubich a 2, I'm going to go 1 on Greinke. I have him in a couple DCs where I'll probably have to start him, but I don't want to.
Yeah, no, he had a nice outing last time, I believe. I have him in the 0 range, so I'm going to go 1 because it's close enough to the 1 range that we can go there. So I'm going to go 1.
Nice. And then for the Dodgers, Julio Urias. Is that an easy 5 for you?
It is. I'm going to say it's not as easy to 5 as it should be. I mean, 5's a freaking 5. But yeah. I guess maybe he hasn't quite, I mean, he's like my number 5 pitcher, and you like the matchups. I guess I expected a little bit. I mean, he's fine. But I mean, as good as he was, I expected another step, if you will. I mean, it can't be a big step, good as he was. And I know we're looking at his numbers. How can you say that? 2.49 ERA, 0.97 yeah. WHIP. He hasn't fanned a batter in an inning. His strikeouts are under 1 an inning. And last year, they were barely over. So I guess I kind of expected minimum for the strikeouts to stay the same. And if not, go up a little. But then when you break it down to percentages, we're within variance. I mean, it's fundamentally the same.
Yeah, you're right. That's not a 5 caliber strikeout rate. But I do, you know, at Milwaukee versus Miami at home, I still 5 for me on.
Yeah,
for sure. Urias. And before we move on for the rest of the 2-star pitchers for next week, a real quick word from our friends at Caesars Sportsbook. The weather is heating up, and so are the promotions at Caesars Sportsbook. Today, anyone who is at least 21 years old and in a licensed Caesars Sportsbook state can create a new account and redeem the Caesars Sportsbook promo code ROTO15. It's ROTO15. The promo code gives new users a risk-free first bet up to $1,500. Visit Caesars.com/sportsbooks. Or download the Caesars Sportsbook app today. And don't forget to use promo code ROTO15 when signing up. I forgot to do that during the show last week, so I had to splice it in, which was a big pain in my rear end. So I'm glad I remembered to do it actually while we're talking today, Todd. No 2-star pitchers for Miami, it looks like, because we're expecting
Rogers.
Oh, yeah, Rogers. He's been so bad. Lizardo's back, too, and he had a
shouldn't jab. They? With, you know, we talked about Cabrera. Lopez is starting to hit a wall. I know we want Alcantara to throw 500 innings, but shouldn't they go to 6 starters?
Yeah, I think so. Because you got, you know, Braxton Garrett got blown up, but he's been okay, I guess.
When one guy, Alcantara, you want to pitch every other day, and then the rest of your staff, you want to go every, you know, have an extra day. I think it makes sense for a team that's not competing to do that.
And I think they have to find a way to limit Pablo Lopez. I know they were talking about maybe trading him, but 123 and 2/3 innings, that's already
20 more.
Well, 20 more than last year and
right.
10 plus more than his previous career high. So 12 more, I guess I should say 10 plus. But anyway, so no 2-star pitchers for Miami. And then for Milwaukee, Freddie Peralta and Brandon Woodruff. They do have to face the Dodgers at home. Then it's at the Cubs. Let me see how deep did Freddie go. I know he kind of had a short outing in his return. Yeah, so only 3 2/3 on August 3rd, but then 5 against Tampa Bay's last time out. So expect the reins to be pretty much off for Freddie, but I still think it's best to keep expectations in check and probably give him a 3 for now.
Yeah, I think that's where I am as well. I think that's where I am for Peralta. Yeah, the Dodgers is obviously kind of scary. I have him in the 2-3 range. I'm gonna stick with a 3.
And is Woodruff a five, even though he's got to face the Dodgers? And
he is for me. He may not be a top 10 five, but he's a five. I've seen enough. Actually, he comes out at number nine. I'm gonna go five.
Five. Yeah, I think I will too. I know he sure wasn't pitching like a five earlier this year, but it seems like would you say Woodruff's kind of figured it out?
Right. I don't think he's still where he was last year at his peak. Mm-hmm. But he's certainly one of the better pitchers.
Joe Ryan for Minnesota versus Kansas City, then versus Texas. Doesn't get a whole lot better than that for Joe Ryan. Not a five caliber, though, but I'll give him a four.
Hasn't been pitching all that well, making a little bit of home run issues. I'm kind of jostling between three and four. I'm going to say four, but he may come over the three with my rankings because he hasn't pitched well lately.
I need Sonny Gray to make his layup against Kansas City at home next week. Come on, Sonny.
Yeah.
Carlos Carrasco, he's been pitching really well. I actually thought he looked pretty good against the Reds. Our note said that he didn't. I don't know. I think I edited that because I disagreed with him not looking very good. I thought he looked really good. Struck out nine against the Reds. Did have a little bit of a bump of the road one of his final innings. But Carrasco quietly, at least quiet for me because I don't have him anywhere, a 1.69 ERA, 1.17 whip over his last seven out.
Yeah, and he's going fairly deep. Yeah. I probably have him. I don't love the matchups at Atlanta and at Philly, so I think that's going to bring him to the three. Mm-hmm. But I can see someone going four, and I wouldn't, shut him down.
Yeah, that's one where you could give a little bit of this recent value back. But given what he's done, I got to give him at least a three. Taiwan Walker, he's 10-3, but I think I'm going to go two because those matchups do scare me.
Yeah, my computer hasn't quite frozen, but I can't check out the matchups. What are the matchups?
For Taiwan, same for Carrasco. So it's at Atlanta, then at Philly. So pretty tough.
He's pitching well. I'm going to go four.
For Taiwan, you're going to go four.
Yeah, we are now back to being off the cuff because I can't get to my. You know what? Oh, this I could be an idiot. I think the batteries on my mouse have died.
That's happened here in the Roto office of a time or two.
Yeah, that's all it was. The batteries on my mouse. That's. There you go. I should. Whatever. Yep. Well, let's see. All right. Out of curiosity, where does Carrasco actually land? Taiwan Walker. I have him in the two range.
I thought maybe that's mix, probably what you meant.
Maybe the. Well, I meant. That's why I don't like to do him off the cuff. All right. I'm going to go two. And that was a. Right.
That's fine. We appreciate you your diligence finding that spreadsheet, getting that up. Garrett Cole and Nestor. Nestor had a couple bumps in the road, but I think Nasty Nestor is back to being a five for me, honestly. I know he's fallen out of the Cy Young discussion. I never really thought he was a Cy Young candidate, but I mean.
I've got Cortez as a four. I mean, Cole five. But I mean, we're splitting hairs.
Yeah, it just would be hard for me to see sitting him in any league.
Oh, yeah, no, that's absolutely starting him, right?
Yeah. James Caprillion I picked up in Derek Van Riper's Keeper League, so I'm kind of excited about that, especially because he's at Texas and versus Seattle. Seattle's not a team you love to face, but it is at home, the Coliseum. So I think I'm going to give Caprillion a two, but I kind of like him.
I do as well. I'm in the one range. I need to check the innings, though, because I think he's been pitching more innings lately. And if I bump the innings up a little bit, that'll help. I mean, and now Julio Rodriguez is back with the Mariners, makes him that much more dangerous.
And J.P. Sears talked about him being a pickup in the Stake League and probably one of the few two-star pitchers that we've touched on that is, widely available. At Texas versus Seattle, I think I'm going to go one because I think I'll have him a notch behind Caprillion, but I think I'll have him on a couple of lists as a backup contingent bid this weekend, JP Sears.
I like him more than Caprillion, actually.
Yeah.
But a lot of it is we don't know where it's kind of dancing with the devil. I don't know. It's sort of the opposite. I just think he has a little bit more strikeout potential, but we don't have the pro numbers in to bring it down yet. We're still basing it off of mostly off of minor league equivalencies. This year he's only fanned 18 and 27 and a third, but in the minor leagues he's always fanned more than a batter an inning. So I think that's where the difference lies, is that I don't have enough pro innings yet to lower the projected strikeout rate unless I override it myself, which I don't like doing after 27 innings.
That's fair. I think sometimes in fantasy it's reasonable, and I've done it certainly.
I mean,
dance with the devil you don't know.
Yeah, he was, as a reliever, getting, one strike an inning. I'm looking, he fanned one against the A's in 5 2/3. And, that's kind of bringing the numbers down. He fanned one against the Astros in 3 innings, and then 3 against, here's where the Angels strike out left and right. He only fanned 3 5 1/3. So this year he's not getting it done, but based on history, the numbers should come up. I'm going to go with a 3 for him. And he I don't know where he lands as far as I add the NFBC rankings to my list. Now I didn't pull those in, but I, as you kind of suggested, I'll bet he comes out as the highest ranked guy that's widely available in the high stakes.
I think I told James this, and maybe I've even told you, but I actually watched one of his starts earlier this year when he was with the Yankees, and I was struck by the small stature of JP Sears. He's just not a tall guy. He's listed at 5'11", so that might be a generous.
And we're each looking up at him, right? At 5'11", we're each looking up. That's how short, whatever.
But anyway. I do just kind of worry about those guys as starters, durability and whatnot. But maybe with those matchups, I got to roll the dice on JP Sears. And then Noah Syndergaard now with Philadelphia. He's at Cincinnati, then versus the Mets. Just with this new baseline level of strikeouts, I don't know if I can go any higher than 3 on Syndergaard really at any point, but this week especially.
I have him as a 1, but maybe I go to up to a 2. It's the underlying metric. I think he's out pitching his peripherals. I haven't checked, but I base it off of metrics more than anything else, and they're not very good. Like you just said with the strikeouts, you can run off them pretty easily too. Now, who on Cincinnati will run? Anybody?
Senzel, maybe Barrero's run a little bit.
Yeah, but you get a guy on base. and then the Mets, maybe Naquin. I don't know. Yeah, the Mets. But yeah, I always like to see who am I going to use in DFS that night or whatever to get a couple of steals off of Syndergaard.
Yeah, the Mets have Starling Marte, Lindor, but they're noted on some broadcast recently that they don't run much at all, the Mets. They have some speedsters.
That's one of the, sometimes the manager melds to the team. Other times the manager has a way. And I don't think Showalter likes to run.
Yeah, I think you're dead on there. Now, Mitch Keller, I got to give him some respect with how he's been pitching lately. I'm still terrified of this guy. the way his fastball has gotten crushed over the years. Versus Boston, versus Cincinnati. Maybe that second one, if you're in like a daily moves league. But for the two-step, I'd still be really hesitant. A 1, I think, for me.
Yep, a 1.
Yeah. Need to see a little more. Then Musgrove, Joe Musgrove for San Diego. He's a 5. But what about Sean Manaea? He's hit some bumps. Oh,
gosh. He should be a 5. Let's move on. But he's not.
Yeah.
Miami
versus Washington.
I love the matchups. I'm going to give him a 4. Maybe this is the make good week, right? But we've given we've given Barrios and various times Barrios, Giolito, you mentioned Rodgers. They've all gotten some fantasy venom at one point this year. Minaya deserves it just as much. But he's kind of, because of the timing of it, because he started out really well and then started to stink, it's not as apparent as the guys that start out terrible and then figure it out. Mm-hmm. But he's been terrible lately.
Yeah, over his last 10 starts, he has a 6.48 ERA, Minaya. So since June 14th.
I mean, he's a guy that might be available in 12s.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I mean, again, I'm giving him a 4 because you got to, right, against Miami and against Washington.
I'm not going that high, but
all right,
I'll go 3, but I hear what you're saying.
No, you've got to. No.
pushing back on the you
and
got
keep, it, keep in mind that I mean, I tweeted about this too. Minaya, to me, was a solid SP3, borderline SP2 coming into the season.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm starting from a higher baseline, which is still baked in and also adds to my frustration, but that's my own that's my problem, not yours, as they say.
Well, you know, this will be a telling week for Minaya. If you're
right, I mean,
if you're right, then this could be
this is got to be his panacea. It's got to be his panacea.
Luis Castillo, and speaking of, for those watching on YouTube, this is a Luis Castillo All-Star jersey I'm wearing. I knew full well that he would no longer be on the team when I ordered it, but it's the one to support him and the great years of Reds baseball he provided. He's a 5. Luis Castillo has blossomed into a legitimate ace, not just a, frontline type of starter.
Well, right now, without downloading all my stats and updating everything, he's number 1 overall for me over Gerrit Cole. Whether he stays
with
there,
the Angels and Oakland, yeah.
Yeah, it's close enough that once I download recent starts, etc., it could flip. But he's top 3. He's top 2 because the other guys aren't going to catch up. So it's here, Cole. It's a 5, but that's how, that's how good he is. These matchups at LA and at Oakland. Maybe I did this with who was it with? Was it Collette? Instead of grading Corbin Burns, we did an over under for strikeouts. Maybe that's what we need to do with Castillo against those two offenses, over under 19.5 strikeouts, whatever it might be.
I was going to say 15.5 just off the top, but maybe it should be 19.5.
Yeah, I mean, I may have been a little exaggerated, but yeah, 15
the Angels are a disaster, though.
Right.
Don't even know how they strike out just as bad as they are.
And it's weird. I mean, even as recently as last season, they were one of the better contact teams. So anyway, and they got rid of Justin Upton. Anyway, all right, enough of that.
Well, for San Francisco, Alex Cobb, who should have been at the game last night, the Field of Dreams game. Get it? But the Reds had two Farmers, so they were fine. Buck Farmer and Kyle Farmer. Alex Cobb's, he was disappointing early on, but the numbers are starting to improve. You take a look at what he's done.
Well, basically, the outcomes are now commensurate with the skills.
Yeah, he's been pretty good lately.
He was unlucky early in the year, but it wasn't like he was striking out 10 per 9. He was relative to where he was. He was unlucky. He has a game at Colorado, which I don't like. Which is going to hurt him.
Oh, yeah.
But
I think that's going to bump down for 2.
Yeah, I'm going to go 2 because of that Colorado game. But, we talk about he's, finally getting the numbers he deserves, keeping in mind that he doesn't deserve 4 or 5. He just deserves better than what he was getting.
And Jacob Junis had a give-back game the other day and looked more like the Jacob Junis we've come to know. So maybe the Giants don't have the magic touch, but
I still think
Junis is okay to roster. But this week I'm only giving him a 1.
Colorado, I think he may even get a 0. I think I'm going to go 0.
But a hold for you though, or is he a drop?
Yeah, he is at this time of the season, this time of the year, because you're only holding for 6 weeks or 8 weeks. I think he is a hold.
And then Jose Quintana for St. Louis versus Colorado. So Rockies in St. Louis. Then at Arizona, pretty nice matchups for Quintana. Another guy, though, that I can't really trust on like a mixed fantasy roster, just too volatile over the years. So I'm going to go two, maybe a deep league.
Try to. I'm looking at a four. And wow, really? A lot of that has just to do with St. Louis trust. Yeah. What I don't trust about Quintana, I do trust about St. Louis. And these matchups are kind of
They don't got Bader back there in center anymore, but the defense still is great.
Oh, Carlson and Nootbaar are very good.
Is Carlson good in center?
Yeah, he's been playing very well in center, yeah.
I did pick up Nootbaar for that Colorado series, and that was kind of nice. Ryan Yarbrough, I know you've praised him in the past. Not to put words in your mouth.
In the past.
It's been a while, yes.
In the past.
Zero on Ryan Yarbrough.
Zero. Yeah.
The second zero, you mean on Jeffrey Springs?
No, actually, no.
I'd actually consider Jeffrey Springs.
No, zero meant you zero, me zero.
Yeah.
But anyway, I don't mind Springs. Now, Springs had one of those classic, this is going to be ugly type games. But then when you look an hour and a half later, all right, he gave up the same three runs, but he now pitched 6 1/3 and fanned 7, whatever it was. I don't remember the exact numbers, but I thought he was going to have a terrible game last time, but it worked out okay. I know it's at the Yankees and don't love it, but I still have him for a three.
Yeah, the at New York gives me a little pause, but Springs has been fantastic. I'm going to go two, but that versus KC at the end of the week gives him some appeal. So
yeah, I think it's because it's the lefty. I just like the lefty against New York a little better, especially when Stanton's out and another righty that's now out. I forget.
I would look that up, but kind of power through these last few. Glenn Otto and Cole Reagans. I know Glenn Otto's got his truthers over the years, but I couldn't. I guess versus Oakland at Minnesota, maybe, but I'm going to go zero for both.
No, yeah, I have him a zero.
And then earlier in the show, you alluded to you being just done, hands off on Kikuchi. I would say explain yourself, but I don't even think you need to.
I've been holding on reaction, but I mean, I tweeted, you say Kikuchi, I say nevermore. And how come?
And I get it. It's at this point, it's the goodwill has run out on Kikuchi.
How come this is just the way it is nowadays? And I'm about to get whatever. When we pun a regular name, no one says anything, but because I made a pun on Kikuchi, I was called out for it. I wasn't making fun of the player or the anything other than making a pun on the name, and we make puns on a million names. Anyway, there, rant over.
Well, I, even though I know better, I'm going to give Kikuchi a one, but it was a five.
Yeah. You're going to give him a one, huh? You're still hanging on there. All right.
Well, I know I'm starting him in stake league. But all that's right. With the lineup periods in that league, I'm only starting him for home against Baltimore. Even then, pretty scary. But I guess since I'm starting him in stake, I have to give him a one. Josiah Gray has been pitching pretty well. Does have to face San Diego to end the week. But San Diego, until recently, I mean, they were a real rut offensively.
Yeah.
I'm going to give Josiah Gray a two, and then Patrick Corbin, who's been one of the worst starters in recent memory this year, he's a zero.
Yeah, I was afraid you're going to say the Padres have been scuffling. Gray, I've got him as a zero, but I'm kind of in my, I'm thinking too. So I need to check the numbers. I'm going to give him a one for the record in the podcast, but where you write down the numbers of the grades, I write down the players that I want to double check before I post the rankings. And so I put a little asterisk next to Gray.
Nice. Yeah. Circle back maybe.
Yeah.
But we had kind of a light starter week last week. We're back with a vengeance this week, man.
101 games. And there are
a few.
There are two doubleheaders. I have not checked to see how many, makeup games there are from the schedule, from the, the lockout. But there are two doubleheaders on the schedule. Last week or this current week, there were only 91 games, and that was because it was running up from the All-Star break to this week. Teams were at the maximum number of games they can play before the CBA, you know, rule comes in or whatever it is. So that's why there were a lot of off days this past week. It's kind of reset this week.
Gotcha. That's kind of interesting. Good to know. So let's recap our grades for the week of August 15th, 2022. Madison Bumgarner, I say 2, Todd 1. Merrill Kelly, I say 3, Todd 4. Kyle Wright, 4. Max Fried, 5, although extremely tentative with his concussion issues on the concussion IL right now. Kyle Bradish, 0. Dean Kramer, 0. Nick Pivetta, I say 3, Todd 2. Marcus Stroman, I say 2, Todd 3. Mike Miner, 0. Aaron Civale, 2. Kyle Freeland, 0. Dylan Cease, 5. Johnny Cueto, 3. Drew Hutchison, 0. Jose Urquidy, I say 4, Todd 3. Chris Bubich, I say 2, Todd 1. Zach Greinke, 1. Freddy Peralta, 3. Brandon Woodruff, 5. Joe Ryan, 4. Carlos Carrasco, 3. Taiwan Walker, 2. Garrett Cole, 5. Nestor Cortez, I say 5, Todd 4. James Caprillion, I say 2, Todd 1. JP Sears, I say 1, Todd 3. Noah Syndergaard, I say 3, Todd 1. Mitch Keller, 1. Joe Musgrove, 5. Sean Manaea, I say 3, Todd 4. Luis Castillo, 5. Alex Cobb, 2. Jacob Junis, 1. Todd 0 on Junis. Jose Quintana, I say 2, Todd 4. Ryan Yarborough, 0. Jeffrey Springs, I say 2, Todd 3. Glenn Otto, 0. Cole Reagans, 0. Yusei Kikuchi, I say 1, Todd 0. Alec Manoah, 5. Josiah Gray, I say 2, Todd 1. And Patrick Corbin, 0. Whew. Oh, that's a lot, but this is what we do. And we hope you found this podcast productive and useful throughout the season. Let's finish strong. Bring home some titles. Anything else you want to mention before we sign off today, Todd?
I don't remember the time, but yeah, you can check out Eric Halton and myself on MLB Network Radio tomorrow, as always on Saturday. And let's get it done. This is the grind. This is dog days. This is the grinding time. This is where you put in all the work, and you sometimes this is where you're going to keep pushing forward, and you're rewarded.
Yeah, let's bring home some titles. Keep your eye on the prize, and as other people, their attention starts getting pulled elsewhere, let's keep our laser focus. All right, thanks for being with us. Hope you'll join us next Friday on the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast.